In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some 3 decades ago, we had this song that became very popular. Bobby McFerrin. And he goes, here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Yeah, just be happy, that's all. Life goes good. Jesus says, peace be with you. That's kind of the same. Be happy. Peace be with you. Well, kind of the same, except not really. Right? When it's just, don't worry, be happy. You know, sort of a Pollyanna approach. Doesn't really matter. Just always look on the bright side. Right? Keep on the sunny side of life. Yeah. As long as life is sunny, I suppose that kind of works out okay, but life isn't always so sunny. So whether Bobby McFerrin says, don't worry, be happy, or Jesus says, peace be with you, they sound kind of the same until you start thinking about real life. Then it's not even close. The disciples had been through a lot. They'd been following Jesus probably 3 or so years. They've come into Jerusalem and they saw just how quickly life changes. From glorious entry to suddenly the mobs turn against them. Mob rule has tremendous power. We're starting to learn that in our own country. Mob rule has great power. In fact, they were able to convince Pilate, the representative of Rome, Caesar's representative, to change his mind. That's pretty powerful. When they call crucify him, he does. Even though he didn't agree with it, their authority seemed to have superseded his. And the disciples saw how tenuous their own existence can be. When Jesus is crucified, died, buried, and then rose. And that's where it got really confusing. They had gotten reports from a couple of the women who had been there. They'd gotten a report back from 2 of the folks that had gone to investigate themselves, but they still haven't quite grasped it, because it says they were that night, the very night, in the upper room, doors locked, fearful of what might happen to them, afraid to go out because they might be next, when Jesus appears to them. With good reason, he says, peace be with you, because that's probably the farthest thing from their mind. And when he starts to speak the words, it already starts to have that effect. A sense of peace or calm starts to come because Jesus said it. Jesus, the one who understands that kind of life, because he's been through that kind of life. They watched it happen. He experienced it himself, but he still knew a peace. A peace that comes only from God. And so when he starts to speak that word, because he's done it himself, he's been through it himself, he can relate to it, and they can relate to him, and already it starts to make a difference. Now, again, it's in a deeper way. When we think about Bobby McFerrin's song, the music itself just kind of gets you going, right? It kind of lifts your spirits. It sounds cool. When we sing our Easter hymns, it does the same, but with a much deeper meaning. When our lives get all chaotic, when it isn't always the sunny side of life, to hear Jesus say to us, directly to us, peace be with you. We already start to experience it at that. And it's more than just words. More than just words. Listen to one of the early church fathers. When Christ greeted his holy disciples with the words, "Peace be with you," by peace, he meant himself. For Christ's presence always brings tranquility of soul. This is the grace Paul desired for believers when he wrote, "The peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds." The peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, is, in fact, the Spirit of Christ, who fills those who share in him with every blessing. Jesus says, "Peace be with you." He means, "I am with you. I am that peace, and I am here right now with you." The disciples, when they were in this trouble, they gathered together, right? They bonded with each other, and that's a good thing, right? Because troubles have a way of isolating us. You know, we kind of pull back from everybody else. That's just kind of natural to us. But when we gather together, we gain strength from one another. It is good for us to be together. But it's more than just the goodness of fellow people who may have had similar experiences. It is the gathering together of Christ's people, the body of Christ. And he promises to be with us where two or three are gathered in his name. There he is among us. And so when Christians gather, it is under his umbrella, under his shield, under his protection, that Christ becomes present as his people gather together. He comes directly. He speaks the word because he is the word. Whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, when we start to read that, we know it's something different than just a storybook. We know it's something different than just a history book. We know it's something different than just a science book. It is a book of faith. That the Holy Spirit has used these people, right, that have written over centuries, a millennia really, and different people, different situations, but the same Holy Spirit has inspired them, so that when we read them, God starts to speak directly to us. It is why as we read it one time, five times, 20 times, whatever, we always find a new piece to it, because our lives are different, situations are different, and it starts to address us in a new way. Not that the old way was a bad one, it was a different one. And now, again, whatever our life situation is, he speaks. And in sacrament, he is here with us. My body given for you. My blood shed for you. Not a reminder, but an actual presence. So when we gather, we receive peace that comes from God, because it is God who comes to us. Right smack dab in the middle. And we are thankful. We have a new approach to life. Not that we get out of things, right? We still have to go through the same stuff. But when we have a peace, a confidence, an assurance, a foundation, we get through in a wholly different way. But interestingly, Jesus says this three times to the same people. Right? That first night, "Peace be with you." Then he shows them his hands and his side. And then he says, "Peace be with you." And then he gives them the Spirit. And then 8 days later, the same folks are gathered, this time with Thomas. And Jesus says the same thing, "Peace be with you." And again, he shows them his hands in his side. Now, why do they need to hear it over and over? Well, because we need to be reassured of it. Because we may have known it and then forgotten it. We may have trusted it and then questioned it. It may have been the very thing that we needed, and then it just kind of slipped away. And so Jesus says it to them three times, peace be with you. And he does to us as well. It's not just, oh yeah, peace be with you. You heard that before. Off you go. But again and again and again. One of the church fathers puts it like this. What does this repetition in bestowing peace mean, except that he wants the tranquility that he had announced to their minds individually also to be kept collectively among them by granting peace repeatedly? He knew that they were going to have far from insignificant struggles in the future, stemming from his delay. And so they needed to be reassured of that. Because their lives would soon be going in way different directions, because they would be suffering persecutions of one kind or another, they'd be rejected from the temple and the synagogue. Wouldn't be long and Stephen would be stoned. Not long after that, James would be beheaded. Not long after that, the same kind of fate would fall on all of them. Because the future was going to be difficult, Jesus says, peace be with you. As you face these things, peace be with you. And he speaks to us and says, let these words so penetrate your lives, so enter into your consciousness that when you need to hear that, it has material to work with. Right? The Holy Spirit takes those words that are deeply embedded in order to make them come alive once again. You all have seen the same kind of things happen. Right? As people get older, sometimes they can't remember anything. But you start to say the Lord's Prayer and they can jump right in there with you. Why? Because it's been so deeply embedded, right? It is way down there that the Spirit can pull that back up again, even when they may not remember much of anything else. And so it's important for us to hear those words again and again and again, to speak those words, to read these words, to receive it deeply so that we don't know what the future has, but we know the one who holds it. And when we know the one who holds it, that gives us a peace that supersedes any other human understanding. What a graceful gift he gives them. What a grace-filled gift he gives to you and me when we hear Jesus speak to you. Peace be with you. In the name of the Father and of the Son,